We're pleased to be soon be joined by several senators, and some others are going to be here other than the ones that you see up here now. Let me just quickly, I chair the Environment and Public Works Committee, as you all know. We've had this issue up now since 07. Back then it was done with legislation, and the issue is this. We've always had the states have jurisdiction over the waters of the United States, except for those that are navigable. We all agree, those that are navigable, that's justification for the federal government to be involved. However, there are a lot of people who have wanted to concentrate the efforts into Washington. And in order to do this, they wanted to, through legislation, do away with the word navigable. That's what happened. And we might remember that Senator Feingold and Congressman Oberstar, I guess it was, introduced the bill to take that word out back in 2007. Then in 2009, they did it again. And not only did we defeat soundly their effort to do that, but they were also defeated in the 2010 election on that issue. So it's a huge issue. It's one that's important. Every time in my state of Oklahoma, they talk about legislation or the president coming up with regulations that are going to put the federal government in charge of what has always been the jurisdiction of the states. They have news conferences, and I'm talking about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau and all the ag groups. And it's been very, very popular. They live in fear of this thing. And I have to say, this is the number one issue with most of the farmers. Now, this is 141 ag organizations throughout America, including almost every farm bureau in every state. So it shows that this has a tremendous following. So last year, the EPA recognizing, the Obama administration recognizing that they're not going to get this through. They decided to try to do through regulation what they were failed to be able to do in legislation. That's a common thing for this administration. So instead of focusing on water pollution, they claim they have jurisdiction through the providing habitat of birds, animals, and insect. So they're jumping the gun. As you can see in this chart right here, they're already saying, notice, waters of U.S. That's a little premature, I would say. So the author of the bill to correct this is Senator Barrasso, who's also on the Environment and Public Works Committee, and we have other quite a number of Democrat and Republican senators who are joining on this. Senator Barrasso. Let me get out of the way so they see that.
Thanks, Jim. Well, all of us have heard from people back home who are seriously concerned about the EPA's Waters of the United States rule, and that's why we're here today. Clearly, we've been working together for months on dealing with this, and we've introduced a bill that we believe is a strong and a bipartisan bill that's going to protect Americans' waterways and American farmers, ranchers, and landowners. So I want to thank all of my colleagues here for their leadership, their commitment on this very important issue. This is a bill that is reasonable, it's balanced, and it's obviously bipartisan. The legislation basically gives the EPA the direction that I believe it needs to write a reasonable rule that will truly protect America's navigable, as Jim says, navigable waterways and adjacent wetlands. By striking the right balance, I think we're going to keep our waterways safe and pristine and allow them to be used as natural resources. And I'm delighted to be here with a number of the co-sponsors, including Senator Donnelly from Indiana, who's shown significant leadership on this, and I'd like to introduce him now.
Thank you very much, John. We can all agree, whether you're a farmer in Indiana or a rancher in Wyoming, a Republican or a Democrat, or a bureaucrat at the EPA, we all want clean water. We also know that we're going to write a rule that makes sense for the people who work with the land every day. In order to do that, we need their feedback. Unfortunately, one of the things that's become clear about the EPA's proposed rule is that it was written without much input from some of the people who care about this the most, our farmers, our small business owners, our cities, and our states. In my home state, most Hoosiers believe we can get more accomplished when we work together. I'm confident that our bipartisan legislation will help the EPA write a better rule simply by making sure they work with our partners across the country to integrate the feedback from those who live and work alongside these waters every single day. And I know this from all of my friends in Indiana. No one wants cleaner water or better land condition than the families who live on the farms of America or the ranches of America. This is something both parties can get behind by focusing on common sense principles to shape a final rule and requiring straightforward procedures the EPA skipped the first time. It simply asks the EPA to take into account the feedback they have already received and go back and do the research and analysis that wasn't done the first time. It isn't designed to destroy or delay the rule indefinitely. In fact, our bill asks the EPA not to put off this important work, to complete it by December 31st, 2016. In the principles, we include explicit protections for waters that most everyone agrees should be covered, like our navigable waters and wetlands that filter out pollutants from our rivers and lakes. It also provides the common sense exemptions for isolated ponds, agricultural roadside ditches, most of which EPA has indicated they don't intend to cover. These are the things EPA should have done in the first place, such as reviewing economic and small business input. We require consultations with stakeholders such as the states and the ag community, including soil and water conservation districts. Given the EPA principles, procedure, and a clear deadline, this bipartisan effort is meant to be constructive and to find a solution. We need to find a WOTUS rule that actually works to keep our waters clean while not overburdening our farmers, our agriculture, our ranchers, and the folks in our country. I'd like to introduce next my dear friend, Senator Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota, who worked tirelessly on this with us. She's been a great champion for her state, not only her state, but from the people all across the country. And I want to also thank my friend Senator Inhofe, Senator Sullivan, Senator Roberts, our Ag Committee Chair, and John, who I mentioned before. But now, Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. There is not one single federal regulation in the entire country that has caused more concern in the state of North Dakota than this Waters of the United States proposed regulation from the Corps of Engineers and EPA. There is incredible uncertainty out there. And building on what Senator Inhofe was talking about, most of you know that there's been a series of litigation involving what constitutes the waters of the United States. And we have a Supreme Court that divided 4-4-1 with very little direction on what we do. I believe that this is an effort for Congress to do what Congress ought to do when we have this kind of controversy, which is step in, provide guidance, be respectful in terms of where the boundaries are, but do our job in helping contain and define where regulation should go and where regulation shouldn't go. And so I'm proud to stand here in a bipartisan way and say Congress not only, I think, has to intervene, it must intervene because of the interest in our states and because of the concern of so many of the citizens, especially in farm country. I mean, I can't tell you how much uncertainty has been created by this rule or even the implementation of existing interpretations of what constitutes navigable water under the Clean Water Act for purposes of 404. It has caused huge concern and as a result has slowed down the appropriate kinds of soil management that my farmers typically would do. Standing water that's not necessarily waters of the United States gone without an opportunity to remove that water creates huge soil condition problems. And so this isn't just an issue of what happens tomorrow or what happens with this year's crop. You could, in fact, have a soils problem that lasts for generations and years as a result of not doing the appropriate soil management. And so I think it's important to note that what we're trying to do is be productive. I think some people will see this as an intervention and an appropriate intervention before the final rule is here. I think that we're doing what Congress should do, which is legislate and not leave it up to the regulatory agencies. And finally, I think it's important to note that this rule, in terms of the timeline that we have, requires that they reissue a rule within this administration's time period. And so we're not talking about holding this off in terms of defunding implementation of the rule. We're not talking about doing that. We're talking about moving something forward that's going to give certainty to American farmers, American small business, so they know what's covered, what isn't covered, and that we're going to make sure that Congress weighs in on where those jurisdictional lines are. And so I think it's no surprise that what you see in front of you are people who represent farming communities, people who represent ranching communities. No one has been more outspoken on this issue than the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Senator Pat Roberts. He's been around a long time. Nobody understands farming with... I wasn't supposed to laugh. He told me not to laugh. He's been around a really long time. And and he understands this issue, and in fact, I think put together a very informative hearing within the last month on this issue, talking about what could be the changes. And so I want to call up Senator Roberts.
Thank you.
Can I help you? Can I help you to the point?
Hey, it's getting worse.
I remember talking about this issue with President McKinley. And, most of what I'm going to say here is repetitive, but it deserves to be repetitive because of the importance of this issue. To John Brasso, thank you so much, sir. He has unique problems with regards or challenges. They don't have problems in Wyoming. They have challenges. And I want to thank my colleagues on the Ag Committee, Senator Donnelly, and also Senator Heitkamp, who is a valuable member of the committee. Also, basically, my good friend Jim Inhofe. Jim and I have talked about this at great length. We had a hearing in the Ag Committee to set the predicate for this bill. We had farmers that came from all over the country, and whoever said, I think it was Heidi, said this is the number one issue with regards to overregulation that farmers and ranchers and people who live in rural America think is absolutely the case. As chairman of the committee, the Agriculture Committee, the always powerful Senate Agriculture Committee, I want to emphasize that this this proposal, again, as Heidi has emphasized and everybody here, is the number one issue of concern in farm country. I have heard directly, as all of us have, farmers, ranchers, state agency officials, various industries in Kansas, and for that matter, every state that's represented here, that unless we take action, they will be very negatively impacted by this proposed rule. Too often I hear from my constituents that they feel ruled and not governed. That's a problem. They lose faith in government, and government doesn't trust them, and I think that's one of the biggest issues we have in the country today. The genesis of today's legislation, the Federal Water Quality Protection Act, is in response to exactly that sentiment. Now, we asked the Department of Agriculture in Kansas what the EPA proposed rule would do to increase the water bodies in Kansas classified as waters of the United States subject to all Clean Water Act programs and requirements. That would increase 460%, totaling 170,000 stream miles. Now, this isn't going to work, and it makes no sense in arid areas where I'm from, Dodge City, Kansas, and also western Kansas. The EPA claims the proposed rule provides greater certainty and clarification. Well, it only required 88 pages of regulation in the Federal Register. 88 pages, and I defy any of you, even Alan there, to determine the 88 pages and what they meant. I don't care if you're a CPA, an attorney, a commodity group, or farm organization, even our hearing when we had it in the Ag Committee. Extremely difficult. In behalf of the farmers and ranchers in rural America, my strong message to Administrator McCarthy is very simple. She wants to change the name. And she doesn't want Waters of the U.S. She wants the Clean Waters Act. Well, merely changing name of the rule is not enough, and providing empty assurances is not enough. Withdraw the rule. Start from scratch. Everybody up here today wants clean water. Senator Donnelly went into that in great detail. If you want to protect clean water, it is time for this administration, the EPA, to listen, withdraw the rule, start the process over again, and in a manner that allows for meaningful public input and consultation with state partners who are ready and waiting to work with the EPA, if we can work with the EPA as opposed to an agenda. The Federal Water Quality Protection Act accomplishes this. I thank Jim, I thank John, I thank everybody for their hard work on this. Senator Sullivan, who has very unique circumstances up in Alaska. Let's develop a rule that respects the rulemaking process and is an effective for farmers, ranchers, and rural America. It is a privilege to join my colleagues. I thank them for making such a strong statement, and let's follow up on the hearing we had in the Ag Committee.
We want to hear from Senator Sullivan from Alaska.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we have a lot of Mr. Chairmans up here.
Hi, Mr. Chairman.
And I do think this is a very important gathering of a bipartisan group of senators who are very concerned about this bill. I also serve on the EPW committee, and I serve as the subcommittee chair of the Subcommittee on Waters, Fisheries, and Wildlife. And over recess, we held field hearings in Alaska on this very issue. And couple things to note, particularly we talked about all the different communities that are going to be impacted. My state actually has two-thirds of the wetlands of the United States in the state of Alaska. For those of you who haven't been in the state of Alaska, with all due respect to my fellow senators here, it's a big state. And estimates of up to half of the waters that would be covered by this rule exist in Alaska. So this is a huge issue for my state, my constituents, and it's not just ranchers and farmers, it's miners. And I want to echo what Senator Donnelly said. One of the biggest problems and what we are doing to address that problem in this legislation is there was no meaningful, serious consultation with the people who are affected. The people, as Senator Donnelly said, care about the water more than anyone, certainly more than the EPA, because we live there. We want to make sure it's clean and pristine, but we also want to make sure it's not overregulated every single inch of it. So that consultation process didn't take place. That was the number one thing I heard in my field hearings in Anchorage and Fairbanks. And importantly for me, a whole swath of the state of Alaska, particularly on the North Slope, the tundra, our native groups up there, hugely concerned at the impact that this could have with regard to over-regulating all aspects of our economy there. So I think this is a very important legislation. Looking forward to continuing to work with all the leadership here, and we're off to a good start. Thank you.